Paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, will join us in 1 hour, and we will get his thoughts on the news of the morning. Woke up this morning, opened my phone, saw the news that Ian Rappaport reported that Will Levis will get the start on Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons. Mike Vrabel is up at the podium now, so we will send it over to him.
You said yesterday that you're working both Will and Malik if Ryan isn't able to play. But if it's going to be Will as your starter on Sunday, doesn't it make sense to give him all the reps with the ones this week?
I never said that Will was going to be the starter. Both of them will play if Ryan can't. We'll see how Ryan feels. He may do a little bit of work later in practice today. But that's how we are. That's where we're at right now.
Obviously, Will, I guess, improve maybe, especially in the last week, getting some extra reps in practice.
I think just getting more comfortable. I think both those guys got good work in, really good work. And whether it was third down or 2 minute, red zone, some of the stuff that we were able to cover last week.
Malik's situational awareness or feel for the game on the play where he stayed in bounds, for example, at late in the game. Feel like he's made enough progress in that area?
Well, I mentioned before, I thought that, again, for a young quarterback, I think anyone coming off the, you know, in a backup role, you know, it probably wasn't the easiest situation. But we do have to start understanding some of those things and where we're at and, you know, making great decisions and trying to understand that there's more to the game, right, than just the first, second, and third down. You know, things are pretty clean, and then when things go off schedule, situationally, you know, we all have to be better.
What do you look for with those guys doing practices this time of year? You obviously had so much time with them in the spring and summer. Just, is there anything new you can see with these reps in these practices, or is it kind of the same as well?
No, I think that things change. Things are always going to change, and what they, how they execute the game plan, the command of the huddle, the formationally, operationally, and then just the ability to deliver the ball on time and know where to go with the football, have an idea, anticipate throws, being smart with the football, taking a profit, all those things that we think, you know, lead to efficiency.
In that being that the anticipation for Willis, is there something you guys could do to maybe speed up the process and maybe help him see things open before they actually open, where you're throwing to a spot as opposed to like waiting for the receiver to get open?
I would say that there's things that we can do on all levels to help our players, and you know, we need to keep doing that.
But for Willis specifically, is there something that you can do to help him out? Is there something more that can be done, whether it's play calling or just more
play calling can help anticipation? Maybe. I think when you talk about anticipation, it's the timing mechanism. You know, where are you looking in the coverage, right? Is it man or is it zone? The receivers, you know, I think it is. It's a total process, right? Being able to, you know, have protection to be able to, one, if it's not there on the first read, to be able to progress, know where guys are going to be, throwing it out in front of guys, you know, allowing guys to catch a run.
What's the biggest challenge for a guy who's not played in an NFL game, not basically to be able to go out and execute at the quarterback position?
I don't know. I've never played quarterback, so I have to ask the guys that played quarterback and started their first game. Go play. Go find a way to help us beat the Falcons. That's where we're at.
On the both quarterbacks,
quarterback's playing thing?
I'm going to focus on the Falcons. And we're going to talk about the Falcons. So, but why are you holding your hands like that?
I'm trying to get a question in here.
Well, then ask the question. Don't. No, I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous. Just ask the question, Joe.
Okay, let me ask you a question. On the two quarterback thing, would that be
against a really good defense? We have to run the football, whoever plays quarterback.
Okay.
Whether
that
that's right.
Switching series, or would that be like one guy's the starter? One guy's
we'll figure out the game plan as we work through the week. You know, we may run the plays in with them. It could be by series, could be every, you know, two series. It could have certain things that we like. You know, we'll see where, you know, one, where Ryan is, and, you know, but again, I'm excited if Ryan can't play that both, you know, we'll get a look at both of those quarterbacks, and, you know, we'll need both of them to help us win. And you know, Falcons are doing some, you know, really good things.
You don't mind the adage that if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have a quarterback?
No, I don't. You know, don't buy that adage. We got three on the roster, and we'll see where Ryan is with his ankle, and go from there.
The hip drop, the tackle might.
Go ahead, Kayla.
Feel a lot in the.
Kayla, go ahead.
When it comes to Desmond Ridder, and just in terms of how he's coming along, what do you see positive out of him? And then just in terms of he has had some issues with holding on to the football, and how can you take advantage of that?
We have to. I mean, I think that. You know, he's made some really, really outstanding plays. You know, I don't anticipate the quarterback center, you know, exchange that he had, but, you know, teams have done a good job trying to get the ball away from him. You know, we have to do a better job of that. Defensively, we understand that. And we've done some good things on defense. I would say that we're not turning the ball over as much as we should or attempting it. So, again, he's made some really nice throws. He's thrown where guys can run. He's thrown good seam balls. But he's also athletic, and he'll take off and run and convert. Go ahead, John.
As you said, the hip drop tackle seems to be in the news quite a bit. Something the league, I guess, is going to take a look at. Curious, as somebody on the competition committee, your thoughts on that? And was that one that injured Tannehill?
It was. And, you know, in the pocket. And I don't know what the answer is. I don't want players to get hurt, but I also want to give defenders an opportunity to make a play. It's hard on skill players. It's hard sometimes in space. That was not in space. And so, you know, there's going to be defenders that are smaller or bigger, maybe not as fast as other players with the football. I don't know what the answer is. I know the answer is that we want to try to make the game as good as we can possibly make it, but also as safe as possible. Just not sure what that is right now.
Are you and your staff unable to discern which quarterback is better at this stage?
No, I'm not able to. I'm you know, taking a look at two young quarterbacks, and you know, again, if Ryan is unavailable for the game, you know, take a look at both of them.
Is one better than the other?
I don't know if I'm ready to answer that.
There's always stress in getting the run game going, but in this particular situation, is it even more important to try and help alleviate some of the stress on the shoulders of two young quarterbacks?
Well, you know, whoever our quarterback's going to end up being, we will have to be able to control the line of scrimmage. They've done a really nice job against the run in the last three games. You know, very good defensive front, play with technique, they play with, you know, power. So yeah, that'll be, you know, I mean, that'll be critical, whoever plays quarterback for us. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we've had a good opportunities. We've hit some double digit runs. Guys are finishing. And then, you know, other times we're just weren't able to get things started in a run game. So it's a consistency thing.
Any different challenge or concern when you go against Arthur Smith and him having been intimately familiar with how you guys operate and do things?
I guess no more so than us having an idea of who Arthur is and what they want to do. You know, he's got some good weapons on offense and try to use the, you know, Bijan out of the backfield. They'll run it with him. They'll throw it to him. They'll scheme some plays up. you know, Drake London seems to be a receiver that's competitive and strong, and, you know, Pitts and Janu, when they get running, you know, build really good speed, and, you know, Algier runs hard. And so, you know, I think it'll just be critical that we're aware of the different personnel that's in the game.
On what you've seen based on practice, et cetera, but given what you're trying to do as a football team, shouldn't you know which one is better at this point?
I mean, Will didn't play many preseason snaps, so I think that would be hard to determine. Malik's a young quarterback that hasn't had a whole lot of snaps, and yeah, so I don't know. I mean, you can say whatever you want. I don't know. We're just trying to figure out who's going to be available, and if that's Ryan, then we'll have a plan, and if that's not Ryan, then we'll have, you know, two quarterbacks that, you know, we'll have a role in the football game.
With that drop back passing game that you wanted to, you know, avoid because of some of the deficiencies up front.
Routinely and over and over and over and redundant. You know what I mean? I meant when you get down in a game and you have to just basically go into a passing game, a drop back passing game, much sooner than you would like, I guess, to try to clarify that.
Right. That you had mentioned the 7-step drops and just, you know, the longer development plays. So what I was going to ask you is, you know, with
the or the amount of guys out in the route. You know, I mean, we can drop back and throw it with two guys in a route. Right? Yeah. I mean, so it's like it's just the how you build some of these things.
But with that, when you have a rookie like Levis back there, like, does it come even more important to make sure you stay out of those situations or avoid them as much as possible?
Yeah, I mean, we want to try to avoid those as much as possible, being down in the game and forcing ourselves to throw. And, I mean, you get into third down and, you know, sometimes, you know, it's what you have to do. And so, again, I just was talking about in first and second down normal offenses, you know, there's just not a whole lot of teams from my exposure of watching that just routinely live in that. That's, you know, or second and long for that matter. And, you know, guys are changing their mentality, their coverage changes, the pass rush mentality changes on second and 10, you know, versus second and 2.
How are Chris Moore and Josh Wiley coming out of the protocol?
Both, I think, are still in it just because they have to practice fully and then get cleared. Chris will be out there today. I don't think Josh will be out there.
Through 6 games, how do you evaluate your own pass rushing and what you guys have accomplished so far? Are you happy with it, or do you want more?
We hit the quarterback 3 times the last 2 games, so that's not going to be good enough to affect the quarterback.
How involved would you expect Terrell Edmonds to be able to be this week with a quick turnaround?
Showed up with a fantastic attitude, played in a football game Sunday night, showed up here ready to go. Was excited, had a great attitude, did some stuff yesterday. So I would say that if he keeps progressing like he has in just the short amount of time that he's been here, he could potentially play.
You talked about Nicholas yesterday. What's adjustment like him getting used to playing on the left side is from a technique standpoint?
I have an opportunity to ask him how he feels, but, you know, I think that there is some certainly differences in playing one side and the other. You know, it's not like we haven't asked them to be ready to go or prepare on both sides throughout the offseason or training camp and his time away. So, again, there's some things that, you know, you got to be able to stay inside out. You got to be able to punch. You got to be able to redirect. And, you know, so maybe some of the footwork is a little different, but I'm confident that he'll be ready to go.
What's happened with the pass rush in these 2 games, Mike?
Got to win. You got to win. You got to beat somebody, and that's what pass rush is. It's what this whole league is. You know, can only double team so many guys, and that's what happens.
Mike, the familiarity that you have with some of the personnel that are now in Atlanta, does that help at all, or is it the how they're being used in the schemes that they're playing there in Atlanta that matters more?
Well, I think having familiarity, you know, helps. I mean, understanding. you know, what their skill set is and what they can do. But you'll also have to adjust to the play based on what coverage we have or what they're running, you know, to know that, you know, what each guy's strengths are, I think is somewhat obvious.
Even with Wiley's status, where it's at, as you just mentioned, what are you hoping to see out of some guys in the tight end room, maybe in terms of their production and running routes and things of that nature with the quarterback situation this week?
Tight end's job is to execute the blocking scheme when we call the run, catch the ball when we throw it to him, you know, be able to, you know, to get open, to be able to have some route craft when it's, you know, man coverage, to be able to get into the zones, be able to get into seams and post safety defense, post safety zone. So, have a great day.
Yeah, Joe. Quit looking like an idiot with your hands.
What are you doing with your hands?
Joe.
What are you doing with your hands?
You're like, what you call it in Talladega Nights? Like, what do you do with your hands? Joe, put your hands down. Oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
Just ask
the question, Joe.
Exactly.
Duffy was giving Jerry yesterday, now telling Joe that he looks like an idiot today.
Oh,
what kind of beef does Mike Vrabel have with 1-5 the game?
Goodness gracious. What was the name of the guy on Talladega Nights?
Ricky Bobby?
Yeah, Ricky Bobby. I'm going to start calling Rex Ricky Bobby. That's his name. Ricky Bobby. Joe Bobby. Hey, Joe Bobby. I know we got to get to this. We got to talk about this. But I would have loved to be in the room to see what was Rex doing with his hands?
Yeah, I got to know now. Yeah. It's theater of the mind, right? We all have this image in our mind because
exactly.
We can't see it.
I'm picturing Joe like in the most cockamamie position, but I feel like Joe's hand was probably just raised.
Was
like,
he doing
hey,
air quotes? Was he doing air quotes?
Was like, he flipping
two
off
two quarterback thing. Were you doing, talking about the two on the two quarterback
oh
thing,
goodness.
Is that what he was doing, being a
yes.
smarty?
He could have been.
Something like this.
Because you know what? A two quarterback
right here,
thing deserves air quotes. Who
yeah.
this two quarterback thing,
yeah.
that thing that
was
you want to try to sell to us that you're going to do, but we all know that you're not
yeah.
going to do.
Was Vrabel saying, are you getting smart with me? Is that what he meant to say?
Well, it was a very good question that Joe asked. So you say we're going to see both quarterbacks. What uh-huh. does that look
he,
like?
He successfully, after all of that, did get him to clarify a little bit mm-hmm. that he said he's not ruling out after every couple series. I'll put mm-hmm. the other guy in. And that's kind of what he wanted to know, right? That's
Is
what we all wanted to know.
Punishing Joe for asking a very fair and intelligent question that we've all been wondering?
I'm trying to ask a question. Well, ask your question.
For his hand gestures or how he contorted his hands, I think that's why he was upset. Yeah. Not necessarily at the questions. He just looked at his hands as he was asking the question. It's like, what in the hell are you doing,
Your
man?
Hands are dumb. Yeah.
Vrabel is on one.
Necessary.
He's on one. The last couple of days he's been, yeah.
It's
like,
tough.
Like our producer Nick Frazier pointed out, he goes to Foxborough and all of a sudden he comes back with a new refreshed sense
exactly.
of Bill Belichick ease.
We're on
oh
to
my
Cincinnati.
Goodness. We're
yeah.
on to Cincinnati.
We're on Atlanta.
We're on to Atlanta and your hands are stupid.
Exactly. So Joe, Bobby, that's your new name. Fix your hands, okay? Find something to do. Put your hands in your pocket when you ask some questions to Vrabel next time, okay? So he can't mess with you.
Sit on your hands.
Exactly. Do something other than what you were doing. I would love the visual to see the visual of that. I know it was funny. But I explained to you as it was going on, Caroline. Mm-hmm. I understand why Joe and Paul are asking the questions, but I think after a while, you got to understand why he's answering the questions the way he is. And you know, he, in a sense, it's like he don't want to give Atlanta any ammunition. He want to make Atlanta, you know, prepare for, because he kept referring back to Ryan Tannehill.
And speaking of Ryan Tannehill, mm-hmm. he is speaking with the media now, so we'll send it over to Ryan Tannehill at the podium.
Same spot exactly, or is it different spot a little bit?
Oh, it's a high ankle sprain, so yeah, a little bit
A little bit different, though, because I had the surgery on it last year. So, you know, the force got spread a little differently. But, you know, it's a high ankle sprain.
So the surgery kind of helps if you do it again later?
Yeah, basically.
What's the balance of responsibility like for you this week, trying to get out there and play on Sunday, but also, if not, making sure that the younger guys are as ready as possible?
Yeah, doing everything I can physically to heal and recover. Be on top of the game plan mentally, and then just helping prepare those guys in meetings, going over all the different looks, what we're looking for in the pass game, the different looks we could see in the run game, and making sure we're all on the same page.
What are the challenges playing with an ankle injury as far as limiting you on what you can do and kind of being yourself?
Yeah, anytime you deal with an injury, you're not able to move like you want to, and that's kind of the determining factor of being able to play, right, is being able to do your job effectively and keep yourself out of harm's way, being able to move enough to be effective and not just be a sitting duck back there.
Beyond that, how about the push-off, which was the thing that you said kind of took you out of the game in terms of the mechanics of throwing?
Yeah, no question. Got to be able to push off, not only to throw, but to step up in the pocket and get away from center, all those types of things. So definitely a big part of it.
What have you been able to do so far, and just kind of what are the next steps as you want to progress?
Yeah, just working with the rehab team in here. They're doing a great job with all the modalities and treatments. So steady on that, and just going to keep down that path.
Is that pretty much a level of frustration you just having to go through this again?
Definitely frustrated, right? You know, it's not a situation you want to be in, but that's the cards that I've been dealt. So trying to keep a positive attitude as much as I can and take advantage of every day and, you know, physically get myself on the right track and then mentally stay engaged and be ready to go when the time comes.
Is it concerning also that not only a game set for Sunday, but then a short week turnaround right after that Thursday in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, it'll be a quick week next week, and we'll see where we're at when we get there.
Tackle Ryan, I guess, in your opinion, and I wonder also, was the last time you got hurt on the ankle? Was that maybe a hip drop tackle as well?
Yeah, it was definitely a hip drop tackle this time. Kind of the same thing in LA at the end of the season last year. So, yeah, tough one there.
Should something be done? I mean, I know the NFL is considering making changes there. Is that something you think should be removed from the game, or can it be?
I don't know. You know, I'd have to study it more. I know a lot of injuries, especially high ankle sprains, come from the hip drop tackle. But then at the same time, you look at defensively, you know, how do you fully eliminate it from being in that position? You know, so I'm probably not the guy to ask because I've not in the on the defensive side of the ball. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, an area where, you know, injuries are caused. But it's not an easy elimination if they were to do that.
Been like as far as recovery, you went from, I guess, walking boot and crutches to, Mike said, you're on a scooter. What did you get off that and start walking?
Yeah, I was in a cast for a few days into the weekend. Then I was in a walking boot and scooter for a few days, and then just got off of the off the scooter and into a shoe.
You know, the suture that was, like, put in place in the last surgery, is that still in place doing its job effectively to your understanding right now?
Yeah, no question. It's you know, I had the tightrope as part of my ankle surgery at the end of the year, so I still have those cables in there, you know, doing their job.
Ryan, what do you most remember from your first NFL start? What's the most difficult aspect of somebody who's never gone through that before, maybe acting?
It's different for everybody. Mine was a long time ago. It's tough to think back, 12 years ago now. But, you know, it's a fun experience. You're learning a lot. You're taking it all in. And trying to do your best. So, you know, every person has to, you know, cross that bridge when the time comes.
Ryan, in terms of Kevin Byard, just your thoughts on, you know, finding out he was traded, and how big is it with that leadership void in the locker room to continue to have guys step up in that?
Yeah, no doubt going to be tough to replace Kevin. A guy who has meant a lot to this organization, to the city, to this locker room for as long as I've been here and before that, you know. So definitely a tough loss for us and tough to wrap your mind around, but we have great leaders in this locker room. We can hopefully fill that void as much as possible. It's tough, right? Like I said, you know, Kevin was such a good quality cornerstone of this locker room, but we have other great leaders on this team, myself included, that we can hopefully, you know, fill that void as much as we can, and you know, just keep our heads down, keep working. That's all we can do at this point.
How hard is it though, when a team does move one of its cornerstone pieces, to kind of just turn around and say, okay, one of our best guys is gone, still same expectations. Is that a challenge to do when the, it's not like an injury, it's when the team?
Yeah, no doubt, it's tough. No doubt, it's tough. But unfortunately, that's the nature of the business. And as players, that's our responsibility is to come to work and do our best to go out and play quality football and find a way to win. Some things are out of our hands. May not like it, may not understand it, but have to control what you can control and go out and do the best job you can.
Ryan, Mike said you're not practicing today, but will you be out there on the field the entire time, or will you get treatment, or what's your plan for today?
Yeah, a little bit of combination. I'll get some treatment, make sure I'm doing everything I can, and then also want to stay engaged and in tune with the game plan and with everything that we're doing out on the field. Thank you.
Okay, Tannehill will not practice today, but we'll react to the quarterback situation coming up next, because we've got some contrasting reports that we need to get to the bottom to, and we'll do that coming up next. Caroline Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
My understanding is the Tennessee Titans are preparing to start Will Levis this Sunday's game against the Atlanta Falcons. The second-round pick is expected to make his NFL debut, and when he does, based on the sources I've spoken with, he should be the primary signal caller. Now, Mike Vrabel, the head coach, said with Ryan Tannehill likely out dealing with a high ankle sprain, both Malik Willis and Will Levis should play on Sunday. I have no doubt about that. But my understanding is Levis should be the primary signal caller. I know a lot of interest in Levis, and a lot of people thought he was going to be a first-rounder. Very talented passer from Kentucky. Should get a lot of him this Sunday against the Falcons.
So that was Ian Rappaport on NFL Network this morning. He had that report on Good Morning Football, also tweeted it out that Will Levis is going to be the starter. And then we just heard from Mike Vrabel. And Mike Vrabel was asked about the quarterback situation. This is what Mike Vrabel had to say about the quarterback situation. If we have that from Vrabel.
Both Will and Malik, if Ryan isn't able to play. But if it's going to be Will as your starter on Sunday, doesn't it make sense to give him all the reps with the ones this week?
I never said that Will was going to be the starter. Both of them will play if Ryan can't. We'll see how Ryan feels. He may do a little bit of work later in practice today. But that's how we are. That's where we're at right now.
So Vrabel never said Will Levis is going to be the starter, but NFL insider Ian Rappaport, who I think we would all agree has pretty good sources, said that Will Levis was going to be the starter. So somebody's lying around these parts. Somebody's not telling the 100% truth. And let me say, in my opinion, I think it's Vrabel that's not telling the truth. I think that Will Levis is getting the start, and Mike Vrabel just doesn't want to say it. So it wasn't Vrabel that leaked it to Ian Rappaport. Then who was it?
It was definitely not Vrabel.
Yeah,
definitely
not Vrabel.
But Vrabel would simply join a list of about 3 million coaches that have tried to be coy
exactly.
About a quarterback situation, especially when you got young guys. So you understand what Vrabel is doing. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to stay consistent. He's trying to say, look, I'm going to say what I said yesterday. He's going to stick to his story, and he's not going to worry about what gets reported. Now, he's probably not happy with somebody.
Exactly.
If in fact, that's an accurate report, which I think it very likely is. I think this is what we all suspected they were going to try to do anyway. To me, that's not the story. The story is that when pressed by Joe – with the hands and all
hands,
that.
Yeah.
He did
your dumb hands.
Continue to say if Tannehill cannot go, and based on what Tannehill said, it looks still slim and none, and Slim is on the way out the door about him playing.
Mm-hmm. So none is taking over.
Seems very unrealistic that he could play. And really, would you want to put him out there if he's really hurting? And that's what you would get. You would get a very hobbled version at best. And probably very little practice. He's not going to be able to do basically anything today other than be out there and watch, it sounded like, from Ryan Tannehill.
Right, and he's getting majority treatment today. It's Wednesday.
To me, the story is that the right thing to do is to quote, play both? Or is he just trying to, you know, give a little bit of trickeration, you know, what do you call it, cloak and dagger, smoke and mirrors to the Falcons when it is going to be Willis. Sorry, when it is going to be Levis that is the guy. I don't know. That's what I can't figure out. I'm not a believer, really, in the let's play both. I think if it's time for Levis to start, Teresa's question to me would be my question. Let's give Levis the shot.
Yeah.
Well, I think
be decisive about it.
I think what it boils down to is you don't want either guy to get complacent in a sense of I name Willis the starter.
I want to keep you involved. I don't want you to think I'm putting you
back. Okay, I'm
out to pasture.
Exactly. I'm just going to sit back here and I'm not going to prepare as if I'm the starter, which I don't, you know, I think both of them, even if he named Will Levis the starter, I think Malik Willis will still prepare as if he's going to start and play
as he should.
But I think he wants to keep those two guys because what it is unless he's told them you're starting, you're the backup. Mm-hmm. I think it's sort of this game that, you know, coaches play with players to keep them engaged, to keep them on point, to make sure nobody's taken for granted that, okay, you're the starter this week. You take it for granted. I'm the starter. I'm, you know, I want to make sure both of y'all know. Both of y'all are going to get an opportunity to play. I don't know who starter is going to be. Y'all tell me by your play and practice who the starter is going to be. And I think, you know, honestly, I think is a good tactic because you want both of these guys to prepare as if they are going to be the guy. So they are crossing every T, dotting every I. So to me, I don't see anything wrong with it because I know ultimately
that can work.
He's going to make his decision.
There's and more than one way to do this.
Exactly.
No,
he's going
to
have his quarterback. And whoever doesn't start, I do truly believe is going to be Will Levis. But if Will Levis is not doing well, then I think he would then go to Malik Willis for a series or two. And then bring, you know, allow Will Levis to settle down, bring Malik Willis in, and then sort of go back and forth. But if Will Levis is doing great, I think it's his game to go. You don't go back and forth. Once you see he's getting into a rhythm, don't go back and forth now.
And when Mike Vrabel said yesterday we'd see both quarterbacks, I think that was taken and kind of ran with it. Mm-hmm. Like it was going to be what we saw in the preseason.
Yeah.
Where one quarterback gets a quarter, the other quarterback gets a quarter.
I don't know if you can do that during the regular season.
I don't think
you can
do that in the regular season.
Yeah,
like, you're not gonna...
But he kind of entertained something similar to that, didn't he? When pressed
he
about
did.
It.
But I can't see
they're
that.
Not going to, like, switch.
He kind of he didn't commit to it, mm-hmm. but he kind of said maybe. Maybe it's a couple series. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's this and that. He kind of
left
options
the door
open. Yeah.
So
I don't believe
purposely.
Him.
Yeah.
I don't believe him.
We
know his mind's made up.
Yeah.
Ian Rappaport said so.
Yeah. Somebody put that out there, whether it was Will Levis's people. I can't see Vrabel, because if Diana would have said it, then I would say, okay, it came from Vrabel, yes. But I can't see Vrabel telling Ian Rappaport he's going. Maybe Levis's people told him, hey, listen, he told us we will get the first crack at it. So, you know.
And I want to know, because, yeah, I think we all agree, it wasn't Vrabel. He sounded very obviously peeved mm-hmm. about that getting out. And he wanted to squander that as soon as he possibly could. But what does Will Levis's agents get out of leaking that information to the media?
I mean, just to, you know, I don't know. I mean.
I think it damages trust more than it does anything.
No, because they know stuff like this. You know things are going to get out. And I don't think the whole quarterback issue is as big as Vrabel sort of is making it seem by his reactions or his answers to the questions. I think he's escalating it by the way he, you know, react to the question. So he's escalating it all. But I don't think it's to
by
him.
By telling
yeah,
Joe that his hands look
exactly.
stupid.
I don't think it's a big deal to him. I really don't. I think it's like, okay, yeah, I probably, you know, told Will Levis he's going to get the first shot at it, first crack at it. So left it as that. And I'm sure Will Levis told his agent, and his agent Ian probably called his agent. Hey, how's your player looking? Will he get the start this week? And he'll probably say, yeah, he's scheduled to start. And so that's how it gets out. I think if Vrabel was too really worried about it, he wouldn't have said anything to any quarterback, either one of the quarterbacks.
But if he wasn't not worried about it, then why not be a little bit more transparent about the situation? Because, and he doesn't have to be.
Because he's Vrabel. He's just Vrabel. He's irritated. His season isn't going well. Guys are getting hurt. One of his leaders just got traded away. Another leader questioned, we're going to see who wants to play. And then he has to come back and say, well, listen, if we get to the quarterback more than three times in two games, then we'll be a little bit better. So he's going back and he's doing all these things. And he's just getting a little irritated, that's all.
Okay, let's take the other possibility, that it didn't come from the agent, that it was just a leak in the building.
Yeah, it could have been.
That does happen. I know they're pretty good in this town because of the media has shrunk a lot. There's not as much that there's not two newspapers like there used to be. It's not New York where there's seven newspapers or whatever. Yeah. So they're pretty good at keeping a lid on things, but sometimes people get a scoop. From inside, right? Isn't that possible?
Oh, totally. 100% possible.
And to me, that would be what would really tick me off if I was Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
On something this big, you're like, if it's his really goal, because it makes him have to tap dance like that.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to have to do that. If that's really what happened here. And I suspect that Rappaport's got some good info, or else I don't think it was just some schmo. He probably feels like he's got a pretty good source to go with that. Right?
Who would that be?
I don't. Who knows? There's a lot of people that work in that building, but he was on it during the weekend. He was on it during the weekend. Mm-hmm. On Sunday morning, I was reading, it's not likely that Tannehill's going to play. Mm-hmm. And Vrabel continues to push the option of maybe having Tannehill out there, which seems to me to be pretty unrealistic.
Yeah, he's holding on to that notion.
He's holding on to that one. Did we really think? We've seen it before. We've seen this injury, what it looks like. He wasn't running as well to begin with before he injured it.
Mm-hmm. I see
him missing
two games.
They can't protect a quarterback very well anyway, so how would you protect a quarterback who really can't move?
Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
I think it feels, we all know, and Vrabel can say whatever it is that he wants, but I think we all know the writing's on the wall. Tannehill's not practicing again today. He's not going to play on Sunday, as much as that's a narrative as Vrabel wants to push.
Well, I'm going to tell y'all this, and just be prepared for it. If Levis plays well, this may be the beginning.
It's a best case scenario.
It may be the beginning of his era. And Ryan, just get healthy for the offseason so you can go and be ready for another team.
Enjoy your free agency tour.
Exactly. But if Will Levis shows any promise, it's his team to run from here on out.
I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest. And Willie, I agree with the scenario that you brought up, that I think it's probably more likely that it came from within the building than it came from the agent. Mm-hmm. Just because I don't see what the agent gains from telling Ian Rappaport that information on Wednesday, when if Levis truly is getting the start, we're all going to know on Sunday. But what I want to get into coming up next is I feel like Levis is probably going to get the start. Vrabel is still pushing the notion that we could see both quarterbacks. What's the best thing for the football team? Vrabel said yesterday they still want to win games. How does this team win games? What's the best quarterback scenario for this team to beat the Falcons on Sunday? We'll get into that. And, of course, your phones coming up next, 615-737-1025. What a juicy day, a juicy week of some news with the Tennessee Titans. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
I'm not sure what to do with my hands.
Be good just to hold them down by your side. Yeah, great.
Well, we're real.
So that was Joe Rexrode this morning, who got... verbally berated by Mike Vrabel.
Joe Bobby.
Yeah, Rexy Robbie, as he has been affectionately called in our text line. Mike Vrabel called him out for looking like an idiot with his hands, whatever Joe was doing. Mike Vrabel's truly on a roll. Nobody is safe.
Nobody's safe. I don't want to go over there. Not that I go over there anyway for interviews and stuff, but I don't want to go over there right now because he's going after everybody.
He is.
He seemed to be very excited about the people that wanted to ask about the Falcons, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kayla.
You have a question about the Falcons?
Yeah, bring it on. Please. Everybody else stop. You have a question about the Falcons? You're up.
Even though Joe's question was, in fact, about the Falcons.
It was. It fell into the category. Playing the Falcons on Sunday. Yeah.
The category of the question about the Falcons, however, was not satisfactory.
Right.
In Mike Vrabel's umbrella of acceptable questions about the Atlanta Falcons. My goodness. Testy Mike this week.
Watch your backs
because nobody's safe. Make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. As we approach week 9 of college football and week 8 of the NFL, Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We've got a bunch of thoughts in our text line about the quarterback situation. So before we get into Jonathan Hutton in 15 minutes, let's get into your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dustin in Hopkinsville says this is Levis's way to win the game. The only thing he has to do is play the game that they ask him to. Minimize mistakes. He doesn't have to be lights out and throw for over 250 yards. Just put us in a position to win. And don't make the dumb mistakes. He's going to miss a throw. He could fumble a hike. It's how he rebounds. And he could show a few flashes and a big hurdle. Where you tackle him, he keeps moving forward. Essentially, that Levis just needs to go out there, do what he's told, and take care of the football. And I would agree.
Yeah.
I mean, that's every quarterback's job description, I would say. But here, to me, is the key question. This is the key question going forward. And you sent me, Carolina, a little article that Alex Daugherty had done with some quotes from Barry Trotz. I didn't get to hear Barry with Jared yesterday. They may well have gotten into this, right? They've picked up a couple of guys on waivers. Like, let's take Sammy Fagimo. Comes over, waits his turn, gets in there. Saturday night, looks really good. Scores a goal, was a positive impact. And you're thinking, ooh, you know, they may have something here. Last night, not the same. He was not a factor at all. In fact, he didn't get a lot of playing time. And last night, obviously for the team, was not a good night. But there's going to be ups and downs. But Barry, and then they picked up another kid off of the waiver wire, Liam Foudy, once a first-round pick, got some tools, was lost in the shuffle in Columbus. They want to see if a new set of circumstances will be good for him here. And the term he used was process over results right now. And I think that is maybe the most succinct way. We've been saying, what are they doing? Are they rebuilding? Is it trotsification? What is all this they're doing?
Right.
I think that's really what it is they're looking at the process. The results are secondary to the process. The process is, how do you build a winning team? So in my mind, if Tannehill's hurt, you trade Byard, and you're basically saying this year is not going to end the way we want it to, the goals are shifting here, then I think that's the term, process over results. So I wouldn't worry as much about. And I know that's hard for Mike Vrabel. You know, you want to try to win the game. You're battling to win the game. But the more important thing is, what do you have in Will Levis? What could he do well? Mm-hmm. So let's not put him in a shell and you know, let's put him in a position to succeed. But over the course of the season, let's find out what you have in him. What's going on with how good can Spears be? Where's Chigakonko? Can you get him going a little bit? These are big questions for the big picture here. And it's not as much, do they beat the Falcons on Sunday, is it? Maybe it would have been if they were 4-3 or 3-4, you know, something like that.
Well, this is where, you know, Tim Kelly, Charles London, this is where they earn their money right now. When you have a young quarterback, rookie quarterback, and he has to make his first start. Mm-hmm. He either will look like Wilson in the Jets when he first started, or he will look like Brock Purdy, one of the two. So it's going to be imperative how they put this game plan together for Will Levis. And Will Levis will tell them how much more they can put on his plate. They're going to go at his speed. They're not going to try to expedite this thing if the quarterback is showing he can't move that fast mentally. So what they're going to do is they're going to put the game plan together. We assume from all of this cloak and dagger stuff that more than likely Will Levis is the guy. So they're going to put a game plan together that works toward his strength and the team's strength, which is running the football, and his strength, getting the ball down the field, one read, one or two reads, whether it be, you know, half field read, you know, to start off, and then you will allow us, you will tell us if you can then, if we can open up the playbook more for you. Mm-hmm. We'll start off with a half field read. You got your number one, number two. If it's not there, chuck it down to the back or run. If he proves that he can do that, show he can do that with some consistency, then you may see second half or you may see in the next game. Now we open up that window a little bit more. So to me, this is where Tim Kelly's got to earn his keep. This is what Charles London's got to earn his keep. This quarterback, he's your future. You have to see what you have in him, but you have to do it in such a way that you don't rush it. Even though you want to see a lot in him, you can't rush this. Mm-hmm. You can't, because if you do, we're going to see more bad things than good things. They need to take the approach that the Pittsburgh Steelers took with Ben Roethlisberger, the Baltimore Ravens took with Joe Flacco, what Houston is taking with C.J. Stroud, what Indy was taking with Richardson. Bring it slow, use the run game, keep everything condensed. Every once in a while, we'll try to get it downfield with your big arm. But other than that, we're keeping this thing in a phone booth. Even with our passes, everything is in a phone booth.
So do you guys subscribe to process over results for the Titans at this point?
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean
in regards to their season? Yes. In regards to their season?
And that does not mean that you're not trying to win every game. Mm-hmm. You're right. Trying to win, but there's a way you're going about it. Mm-hmm. You have to find out what you have and what you don't have. Mm-hmm. You have to find out when you go to draft next spring what you need, mm-hmm, and who can do the job that you have, and maybe give guys – you said this as a possible reason why you wouldn't sign DeAndre Hopkins, mm-hmm, and it sounded crazy to some people, right? But mm-hmm, you were saying, look, I want to see if Treylon Burks can mm-hmm – can be a featured guy in an attack. Now, maybe you have a little more ability to do that now. Now that you've basically said, you've made the signal, this is the positive of trading a Byard, mm-hmm, and being 2-4, saying, you know what, our team is going to look different next year. I got to find out if Treylon Burks can play. Mm-hmm. First, I got to find out if he can stay on the field. Yeah. But when he's out there, can the guy have a game where we feature him in the game plan and even coverage rolls over to him a little bit and he makes plays? Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm worried that they don't have anything there. Mm-hmm. But when you're in this mode, it's a little easier to, you know, try to stretch it a little bit, try to push the envelope and say, can this guy play or not? And at the end of the year, you might say no, and you might have to go in a different direction. But at least you'll know.
I think that trading Kevin Byard was the indication to me that, hey, if we win some games, great. But it's more so looking ahead to the future. And I think the Ryan Tannehill injury just kind of coincides with that. Where if Ryan Tannehill never got injured and we wouldn't see Will Levis, then maybe we wouldn't feel that way as much, because you still have your starting quarterback out there who I still believe gives you the best chance to win. But Levis out there trading Byard, I believe there are probably more trades on the horizon if you can find a partner. Then, yeah, it's let's try to win. And if we win, great. But if we don't, we got picked.
You stay competitive. You want to teach people how to win. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you might be going for the long term and know that Levis, it might struggle some. But can he get through the fire?
He will struggle.
Or if not, then we got to make a decision that way. At least we know.
You just want to see him get better every time that he's out there, whether it's 1% better, 2% better, 10% better. You want to see him get better as the season goes on, because then that gives you hope and of knowing, okay, this is our guy.
Yeah.
He just need more reps.
I'm interested to hear Jonathan Hutton's thoughts on the quarterback situation. He will join us coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.